verse of Scripture I would like us to consider this morning is a very well-known verse and one we have looked at before. Chapter 15 of John's Gospel and verse 13. There we have love's supreme sacrifice. For the Lord Jesus, in ministering to His disciples, said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And cenotaphs up and down and throughout the length and breadth of this land today, members of our armed forces who fought and fell in the great wars and other conflicts, today will be remembered. They will be remembered for what they did. They will be remembered for their service and their sacrifice. For those who are remembered today are those who laid down their lives for crown and country, for liberty and freedom. They left family and friends. They left house and home, never to return. They'd gone to fight the enemy in a land that was not their own. And there they lie buried where they fell. Dr. John McRae spoke of the fallen in that poem that I have no doubt will be recited many times today. In Flanders the poppies blow between the crosses row by row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce here amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short day ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset's glow. Loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up the quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands we throw. The torch, be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die. We shall no sleep, no poppies grow in Flanders fields. Those words, as we have said, will be recited often today. Those will be the words even of our text. For when we think of men who paid the ultimate price and made the ultimate sacrifice, the words of our text come to mind. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when the men and women of our armed forces are remembered for making the ultimate sacrifice, then these words will be remembered. But we must say this, that the words of our text were not written about a soldier or soldiers, but were spoken by our Savior, who in His great quest for freedom and liberty on the behalf of His church came to a land that was hostile and foreign to Him. And there in that land which was not His home, He paid the great price. There He, the captain of our salvation, died on the field of battle, that His church, through His death, might have life and liberty and freedom. And so as we consider these words today, let us fix our gaze upon Him. Upon Him who laid down His life. Laid down His life for His friends. As we look at the words of this text, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus is speaking about His love for His friends. And here we have the proof of our Savior's love. The proof of the Savior's love is seen in His laying down of His life. Today we remember what men and women were prepared to do for their country. And also today we as a congregation will go to the table to remember what Christ did for us and did for His church. If it was duty and loyalty, to the crown and country that compelled our soldiers to go and fight the enemy, then it was love that brought the Savior from above to die there on Calvary's hill. And this is what the Lord is emphasizing in this text. He is emphasizing His love and the love that He has for His church. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And as He speaks about His love and the proof of His love, we have here before us the visible proof of Christ's love. The visible proof of Christ's love. The disciples were already aware of the Lord's love for them. They were aware of His love because He had already told them that He loved them. You look there at verses 9 and 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And again, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so the disciples were aware of Christ's love, and they had been assured of His love because He had told them. It said to His disciples, I love you. Here we see then, when the Lord Jesus, and He is of course speaking about His own death, when the Lord Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, here you have love in action. Here's Christ's love in action. For when the Lord Jesus laid down His life for His friends, that was love in action. His love had already been in action when, in searching for souls, He left the ethereal atmosphere of heaven and came to a most hostile world. That was love in action. When He lay as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, as God manifest in flesh, for He must become man. He must become man if He was to lay down His life for His friends. He must become man if He was to suffer and bleed and die. There is love in action. When He walked the dusty streets, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the sorrowful, raising the dead, there you have Christ's love in action. When He knelt in Gethsemane's garden and agonized in prayer, sweating as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. There was Christ's love in action because he was praying for his church. He was praying for you and me, and when the enemy came to arrest him there in the garden, he said, "If therefore ye seek me, let these," pointing to his disciples, "let these go their way." There you have Christ's love in action. Such actions of Christ's love have led us, as it were, through the foothills of his love. But when he speaks of dying on behalf of his friends, he takes us to the pinnacle of his love. We stand on the top of Mount Pisgah, as it were, and we see the love of Christ to the north of us and to the south of us and to the east of us and to the west of us. It would be enough if he said to us that he loved us, but he has gone even further. He has done more than say he loves us. He has shown us of his love. He has demonstrated his love by giving his life. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is Christ's love in action. And he laid down his life for his friends. You have Christ's love in action. And when you look to Calvary, where Christ laid down his life for his friends, you have Christ's love in abundance. There cannot be any doubting the love of Christ for his people and for his church. For when we look at Calvary, there we see one who laid down his life for his friends. His love is there in abundance. That cup of love he held in his hands was a cup that was overflowing with love. For there is love in his words. Those words that he cried from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's love in those words. And there's love in those wounds. For as Isaiah has reminded us, he was wounded. What for? For our transgressions. There is the love of Christ. You see the love of Christ in his words and in his wounds, and you see the love of Christ in his willingness. His willingness to go to the cross. But behold the love of Christ in his willingness to stay on the cross. For what did the crowd mockingly say? "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And here was an attack that was made upon his deity. "If thou be the Son of God, come down." He could have proven his deity by coming down from the cross. But he stayed on that cross. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It wasn't the nails that fixed Christ to that piece of wood. It was love. Was the love of Christ for you and me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So there you have the visible proof of his love. You also have there the virtuous proof of his love. There's no hint or sign of sham or hypocrisy concerning or surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no ulterior motive that prompted the Lord to lay down his life at Calvary. It was solely, completely, and fully for his friends. His motives were just. His cause was righteous. His love was pure. When love took him to the cross, the proof is there for all to see. There can be no doubting it. He laid down his life for his friends. Ahithophel professed to love David. He was his right-hand man. He was his counselor. But when David's son Absalom rose up in rebellion against the king, Ahithophel left David, deserted David, and went over to the side of Absalom. Oh, he professed to love David, but it was all a sham. It wasn't true love. Judas, one of the 12, one of the 12 disciples pretended to love Christ. Once more, it wasn't true love. Once more, it was just a sham. For at the first opportunity, he deserted the side of Christ. And there and went and struck a deal with the elders and the chief priest to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It wasn't true love. But there is no doubting the nature of Christ's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Anyone who is prepared to lay down his life for his friends is demonstrating how much he loves his friends. There's the proof of it. There is the proof of Christ's love for his church. We see it there in yonder hill upon yonder tree. Right above the crucified Christ, greater love is no man than this. And a man laid down his life for his friend. Pure love. When we look at Calvary through the eyes of this text, we behold the sincerity of Christ's love and his true love for his people. Then we have also here the valuable proof of Christ's love. If at any time, dear child of God, if at any time we should doubt the love of Christ for us, if we dare to entertain the thought for a moment, for a fleeting moment, let us look away to Calvary. For there we have the valuable proof of Christ's love. For he laid down his life for his friends. We doubt the love of Christ. Look to Calvary. We doubt his love for us. Look to Calvary. Greater love is no man than this. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And how valuable is the proof of Christ's love for us in our times of suffering. Some of God's people from time to time are called upon to bear a heavy cross. And sometimes that cross is a cross of suffering. And our hearts go out to those of God's people who for years and years and years their bodies have been racked with pain. And they cry out with Jeremiah in their pain, "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed?" So when the accuser of the brethren tells us in our prolonged and would appear a perpetual suffering, when the accuser of the brethren comes and tells us God doesn't love you, we then know the value. We then know the worth of Christ's love and the proof of His love as is seen at Calvary. The devil says the Lord doesn't love us. He's a liar. We've only to look to the cross. Yes, He loves us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How precious that is in our times of suffering and in our times of sorrow. When the Lord permitted Lazarus to die, was it because He didn't love Mary and Martha? Not at all. The very opposite is true. For in John 11 verse 5 we read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." How many times has Calvary's love borne us up, kept us from sinking in the mire of sorrow, when we have remembered that Jesus Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. That has lifted us up. When the waves of sorrow have almost gone over our heads, this thought, this truth has been our stay. This truth has been our strength. My Savior loves me, and I know He loves me because He gave Himself for me. And if a loved one has been taken away from me, it's not because he doesn't love me. In the midst of my sorrow, I will prove His love. And will prove His love by simply, by faith, looking to Calvary. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And thank God for those of us today who can say, "I am the friend of Christ." How valuable the proof of Christ's love is in our times of suffering, in our times of sorrow, and in our times of solitude. It's the time when we appreciate the love of someone most of all, in our times of loneliness, when the nights are long and the days are lonely. Dear child of God, let us not fret. Let us look to Calvary. Let us look to the cross. Because the love of Christ will embrace us. The love of Christ will comfort us. The love of Christ will help us. The love of Christ will lift us up, even in our loneliest hour. For we know He loves us. Poor Job. Job lamented the friendship of his familiar friends, those whom he loved. But he had the love of Christ to comfort him, for in the midst of his loneliness he says, I know this, I know my Redeemer. We rejoice that in our lonely hours we rejoice in the love of Christ. If we have nothing else in this world, we have the love of Christ. So we have then the proof of Christ's love. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We have secondly the preeminence of the love of Christ. The words of the Savior in this text exalt his love above that of all others. There have been many expressions of love, but none can be compared to this expression of Christ's love for his church. We're familiar with the love that existed between David and Jonathan. 2 Samuel 1 and verse 26, David said of Jonathan's love for him, David said, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. But could Christ have expressed his love for us any more clearly, any more vividly, than when he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? Could he express his love for us any better than by laying down his life? No. We thank him for those times that he has told us he loves us. And those words have comforted us. But better still, has been the truth, the fact that he laid down his life for us because he loved us. It was the preeminence of Christ's love. And when we look at the Christ love, we see love that is unselfish. The words of the Savior tell us why he laid down his life. He laid down his life for his friends. There's the self-denial, the unselfishness of Christ. He laid down his life for others. Sure, dear child of God, isn't that what the life of Christ was all about? It was a ministry for others. Everything he did for others. His whole life was taken up with doing things for others. He lived a selfless life, a surrendered life. A life that was sold out to his Father that he might do and work and serve others. Do for others and serve others. When it came to Calvary, there he laid down his life for others. He laid down his life for his friends. He gave with self-denial a precious life. He laid down his life. His life was precious. Yet he gave it. The most precious thing that you and I have this side of eternity is life. The devil recognized that when he spoke to Job. Or he spoke about Job, he said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. All that he has. That's how precious life is. He will give all that he has for his life. Wasn't taken from him. He gave his life. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down. He laid it down was also a perfect life? Is the unselfishness of Christ again when He gave His precious life and He gave His perfect life? There have been some men in history, tyrants, ruthless dictators, and when it came time for them to die, the world has said, good riddance. We're better rid of them. But the life that Christ lived, perfect in every way, without blemish, without spot. There wasn't a speck on His character, not a blot on His life, not a shade of unrighteousness, not a trace of sin. Yet it was He who gave His life for His friends. He gave this perfect life. He surrendered it all. He gave it all to the last enemy. He gave His life for His friends. The perfect had to die for the imperfect. The righteous had to die for the unrighteous. The just died for the unjust. The sinless had to die for the sinner. And that's why He laid down His life. Because He loved us so much that He gave His precious, perfect life. And it was all of love. Love divine, all love excelling. Joy of heaven to earth came down, fixed in us Thy humble dwelling, all Thy faithful mercies crowned. Jesus, Thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love Thou art. Visit us with Thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Pure unbounded love Thou art. And we see it at Calvary. It was unselfish love and unparalleled love. The Lord said, no greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when you read through the Scriptures, there is recorded there many demonstrations of love. We think of Jacob serving Laban for a total of 14 years. That he might take Rachel, whom he loved, to be his wife. 14 years he served. And he did it because of his love for Rachel. Jonathan said that he loved David. He loved him as his own soul. Wonderful expression of love. Loved him as his own soul. King Ahasuerus, it is written, loved Esther. Loved Esther above all the women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head. Wonderful expression of love. Ah, but the love of Christ goes beyond all these demonstrations of love. Yes, Jacob loved Rachel, but he didn't lay down his life for Rachel. Jonathan loved David, but he didn't lay down his life for David. Ahasuerus loved Esther, but he didn't lay down his life for Esther. Jesus loved me. Laid down his life for me. That is unparalleled love. There is no love like that. There is no love like the love of Jesus. never to fade nor fall till into the fold of the peace of God He has gathered us all. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure, free, unparalleled. There is nothing to be compared to the love of Christ for His church. There's something else. We have here unmerited love. When we look at the text, we see that there was no other motive but pure love that led the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down His life for His friends. You can read that text 1,000 times. And every time the word love will come to the surface. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Paul emphasized this great truth of Christ's love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. But the point is this. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And the point is this, we didn't deserve His love. His love is unmerited. There was nothing in us that demanded the love of God. His love is unmerited. Does this not lift the love of Christ to an even higher level in our eyes? To the question, what have I done to deserve such love? What have I done to deserve this great sacrifice of one laying down His life for me? What have I done? That's the question, and the answer is simple. Nothing. Nothing. We deserve divine wrath, not love. We deserve to be consumed by holy anger, not embraced by holy love. We deserve to be condemned and banished from Him forever. Instead, we became the object of His love and compassion. Instead, He brought us into His banqueting house. Look up, dear child of God, look up. The banner above that banqueting house is the banner of love. We didn't deserve His love. It was unmerited. How great is that love? How full is that love? How pure is that love? It's full of grace. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. That leads us finally to the partakers of Christ's love. For the Lord Jesus here speaks about those who partake of His love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who did the Lord lay down His life for? For His friends. Notice something here about the friends of Christ. Notice that they were His chosen friends. For we read in verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." I call you friends. "For all things have I that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." In verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." I have chosen you. You are my chosen friends. Oh, before the hills in order stood or earth received her crown, Christ chose us to be his friends. Chose us to be his friends, and he went to Calvary, and there he laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his chosen friends. My dear child of God, when you think of that, and think of Christ laying down his life for us, that makes it much more personal, much more particular. He laid down his life for me. He chose me to be his friend. He poured out his love on Calvary for me. He laid down his life in love for me. It's only one thing to say. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me? Who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? For me, his chosen friend. We bless his name today that we are the partakers of Christ's love because we are his chosen friends and we are his called friends. Isn't that what he said? In verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. My, if we were called the friend of some famous person, this would please us. We would boast ourselves in this. To think that I am the friend of a president. Here's something that's better still. A thousand times better. We're the friend of a king. Yea, we're the friend of the king. He's called. I call you my friends. Because you are my friends, I will lay down my life to save you from your sin. You might last to heaven saved by my precious blood. And we're also his consecrated friends. We are to be his consecrated friends. For we are told there, verse 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. There's consecration. Dearly beloved, in the light of Calvary, in the light of Christ's love for us and his giving of his life and giving of his all, nothing else. Nothing more for us to do than to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. There's nothing else for us to do but to serve the Lord with all of our heart and to do whatever He commands us. Surely what we have seen today in the Word with regard to Calvary would lead us to that place of consecration. Ye are my friends. And remember, he laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He commands us today to come to this table And he says, this do in remembrance of me. How could we ever forget? For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, how we bless Thee for our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How, Lord, limited we feel today, how inadequate we feel today, not being able adequately to present the love of Christ and the sacrifice on Calvary. O gracious God, we pray that the words that we have been unable to speak, Lord, speak them Thyself. Speak the word to our hearts Thyself today. Even, Lord, as we come to the table, may we hear those words. This is the blood of the New Testament. Blood that was shed for you. This is my body, which was broken for you. O Lord, speak, we pray. When the lips of clay are silent, O gracious God, we pray that the lips that drop sweet smelling myrrh, that those lips will speak to our souls even now. Lord, we pray that this indeed to our souls this morning will be the Lord's table. It will be the King's table. And we will sit with the King today. I'm going to ask everyone just to remain. The attitude of prayer. I'll ask our brother Peter to come and join me at the table. Let us just go from what we have learned from the Word this morning. Let us go just straight to the table. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ had to become man before he could lay down his life. In becoming man, as we said this morning, he proved to us his love. Let us now bask in that love as we sit at the table this morning. In the stillness of our time today, with the emblems on the table before us, let us thank the Lord for saving our souls, for choosing us to be his friends, and for dying for us in his love at Calvary. After a while, our brother